Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Rahul Mahajan. He's a sociologist and author of Full Spectrum Dominance, U.S. Power in Iraq and Beyond. Hi, Rahul.
Hi, Sonali.
U.S. stocks opened lower this morning in response to the landslide Greek referendum against austerity, but not as low as some had predicted. Paul Hickey, the head of Bespoke Investment Group, told his clients that, quote, the market remains faithful that the European Central Bank and other European institutions have done an adequate job firewalling the eurozone against Greece, end of quote. But in Europe and Asia, stocks sharply fell this morning. The results of the Greek referendum surprised many, with 61% of the voting public deciding not to go along with the International Monetary Fund's approach to fiscal stability. It's not yet a done deal that the vote means a Greek exit from the eurozone. A eurozone emergency summit is being held tomorrow to decide what comes next. Now, after the news today, we'll have an in-depth discussion of Greece as well as of the resignation of the finance minister. But briefly, Rahul, what do you make of this comment by the investment group manager that the market remains faithful that Europe will prevail?
Well, I think that there are two questions. One is that has Europe firewalled itself against the implications of a Greek exit? And that is probably true. The situation is very different from when it was several years ago, when there was the question of potentially multiple countries following Greek's lead or some kind of systemic failure. So in that sense, I think he's right. The other question, though, is whether Europe will prevail over the Cyprus government in terms of some kind of austerity deal. And there, I think, again, Cyprus has tried very hard to signal, especially now with the resignation of Varoufakis, that he is very willing to compromise. He has the backing of the Greeks to resist extreme austerity, but he's basically looking for them to throw him some kind of a bone. So I think right now the ball is in the Troika's court.
And we'll have more in a few minutes on this story. More than 10,000 people gathered on the streets of Toronto in Canada on Sunday, reflecting a diverse and unprecedented coalition of Indigenous activists, environmentalists, organized labor, and even celebrities such as Jane Fonda and David Suzuki. The gathering was dubbed the March for Jobs, Justice, and the Climate, and was the flagship event for a series of similar marches throughout Canada. And well-known Indigenous activist Clayton Thomas Mueller said, quote, today's whole theme of jobs, justice, and the climate is that it really starts with justice. Justice meaning respecting the rights of Indigenous peoples, respecting migrant workers, and definitely respecting those who are hit first and foremost by climate change. That's the poor. End of quote. The gathering took place just before the Climate Summit of the Americas is held in Toronto. Rahul, this event got very little U.S. coverage. How important is this movement in Canada?
Well, I think the movement in Canada is at about the same place as the movement in the United States, and you can even see relative to population similar numbers turning out for large marches. Obviously, the movement in Canada has been incredibly unsuccessful. In the last 10 years, we've seen Canada being perhaps the single biggest disappointment in terms of global climate change accords, much more so even than the United States. I think one thing that is very different about the Canadian movements is they focus much more on First Nations and on the differential impact on the most vulnerable, whereas the U.S. movements are mostly about broad impacts on the middle class.
And finally, a 4th of July release by the anti-secrecy group WikiLeaks revealed the specific phone numbers of Brazilian officials that the NSA had been monitoring. WikiLeaks explained that not only was President Dilma Rousseff targeted, but also her assistant, her secretary, her chief of staff, her palace office, and even the phone in her presidential jet. The U.S. waged an economic espionage campaign against Brazil, spying on those responsible for managing Brazil's economy, including the head of its central bank, and also extensively targeted Brazil's diplomacy. The Intercept, in collaboration with WikiLeaks, analyzed the data and said these new revelations extend far beyond the prior ones and are likely to reinvigorate tensions. But Brazilian officials dismissed the news, saying they were moving forward and preserving ties with the U.S. 2 years ago, The Guardian newspaper had published NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden's data on the NSA's surveillance of Brazil's leaders. Well, Rahul, why do you think Brazil is dismissing these revelations so easily?
Well, off the top of my head, two or three reasons. One is that it's already been big news, and yes, there may be more detail now, but it's probably mostly stuff that the Brazilian government assumed when the first revelations came out. Second, it's important for governments like Brazil to make an initial strong complaint against this kind of thing, but if they persist against the United States, they often just show up their own weakness, because the U.S. is committed to global surveillance, and further complaints are not going to lead to any actual change in policy. And third, you know, at least in private, it seems that Obama has been relatively conciliatory with Rusev, and while not making any explicit promises, has really tried to smooth things over. So she may be hopeful of better things to come in the future.
We'll see how it plays out. Thank you, as always, Rahul, for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
See you then.
Rahul Mahajan is a sociologist and author of Full Spectrum Dominance, U.S. Power in Iraq and Beyond. This is Uprising. We'll be right back after the break.